We do want to conclude a series that's been a great experience over the past couple weeks. I hope that you've received from it. If you're new with us, we've called it Just Walk Across the Room. It's actually not altogether my material. I've taken some of the material from a book by that title, Just Walk Across the Room. The idea is we're pointing people to faith. And really, there are just some very simple steps to do so. It's not a huge, daunting, difficult task necessarily. If we break it down, there's simple, small steps that can point people to faith. That is faith in the Creator God, that God is the Creator, and He is the lover of every single person. We're pointing people to a God who loves them so deeply that He was willing to sacrifice His own Son for them, and then that people would gain an understanding or the purposes of God for their lives. And of course, that is accomplished through Jesus Christ. God came to in the person of Jesus, and Jesus died for the sins of the world. He is what we're calling in this series the single greatest gift. For it's only through Jesus Christ that your life and mine can have an eternal life secured. Do you believe that? You might be sitting here today, and that's still something that's not quite a realization to you yet. And I say yet because we're all on this journey to heaven, friends. And whether we've come to faith or we're on the other side of that line still, there's still this incredible work of God that's happening in us and toward us by the steps, the seemingly small steps of other people. Who in your life, just think about some names, think about some faces in your life. Who could you, through some simple and small steps, influence as far as their eternal destiny, their life and legacy, that it could be forever changed because God would use you, taking some simple and small steps, working out His will for people that you maybe barely know or just see in a distance. Friends, that's what happened to me. Some people took some simple steps. I was sitting at a table, and someone came and sat by me. They sat by me, like in that first slide where the guy was in the middle. There's these empty chairs, no one by him. Somebody came and did a simple thing to sit by him. It changed my forever. It changed my life, and it changed the lives of the kids that I'm able to influence. In fact, turned me, my life upside down, and here I am sharing about it all to larger groups. We've used this diagram that you see on the screen here to show what has to happen over and over again, what happened to probably you, what you're doing to influence other people's lives. Simple, small steps that we have to kind of move out of a circle of comfort, we might say, and take a little walk. Sometimes it's just across a room. Sometimes to sit beside somebody like someone did for me. And there's this zone of the unknown where, friends, think about it, where God does some of His most amazing work. It's not in the comfortableness of our faith that He does sometimes His greatest works. It's when we take a small step to somebody that maybe we don't know very well and reach out our hands and say, hey, I've noticed you, but I've never introduced myself to you. I'm Dave. What's your name? That simple, small step can be the progression toward, a journey toward someone's life and legacy being changed forever. I really want us to believe that. It happened to me. I know some of you could say, yes, it happened to me. I know some of you have been part of that, and you say, I know that works because God did it through me, and I took a simple, small step, and somebody's life was transformed, turned upside down. That's what we're talking about here, friends. Jesus said of His followers, you are the salt of the earth. Think about that for a minute. Salt is highly potent. You wouldn't want to put more than a couple grains on your tongue, or you'll probably need lots of water to wash some of the effect of its influence off of your tongue, right? It's very potent, but it's only good so long as it comes into contact, proximity to that which is designed to influence. And Jesus is saying we're designed to influence other people, to extend ourselves to them with the single greatest gift that could ever be given to any person on the planet. That's what he's desired for us. Well, last week we talked about some next steps. After we've made our introduction, after we've talked to some people that are across the room we don't know very well in that zone of the unknown for us, we talked about some steps, the steps of just kind of getting to know them, this idea of discovering their story, of being quiet about ourselves for a minute in our own maybe agenda of what we're doing in our lives and our talk, and talking about, hey, how did you grow up around here? Oh, no, you know, or how about, do you have any kids? Or, you know, are you going to school? Or, you know, what kind of work are you involved in? Well, boy, what kind of interest do you have in the summertime around here, you know? I mean, I kind of got washed out because I like the golf, you know. What's your interest? Boom. And so we get to know people, discover their stories, maybe extend some hospitality. Hey, you know, I'd like to connect with you again. Could I treat you to a cup of coffee sometime? Or we just, you know, maybe there's some other connections or some common interests that you discover, and that just becomes another door that's open to you. Boom. And then, you know, after hospitality, I talked about, these are some things that totally changed me and affected me toward God, is this idea of being a resource provider. Sometimes a resource is another person. You know, I got to have you meet so-and-so. You know, yeah, I got something I've been reading. Would you be interested in reading more about that? You know, and you can go to a website. There's all kinds of resources. There's resources that just were super helpful to me, that were extended to me. It was a step. But friends, I want to talk to you about something that really helps. Once the turn is made to perhaps a spiritual conversation, maybe we're starting to talk about God, and it might be months down the road. It could be within the same initial conversation. Who knows? Wherein the conversation turns to a little bit of faith. It turns about a little bit about God. And maybe you raised a flag of faith and you said, hey, you know, well, I go to this church over here at the branch. Yeah, I noticed your Facebook's been popping up like you're at the branch on Sundays, right? Who knows how that can be a step for people to understand where you're coming from. And there is this flag. And here's where something very helpful can happen. Telling stories. Okay? Tell me a story. Often people are looking for that from others, their story. It's kind of neat. Tell me a story. My kids love the story. It's a Dr. Seuss book. You might know it as well. Green Eggs and Ham. Remember the story? How many of you remember Green Eggs and Ham? Sam, I am Green Eggs and Ham. He didn't want Green Eggs and Ham. He didn't want Green Eggs and Ham in the house. He didn't want Green Eggs and Ham with a mouse. He didn't want Green Eggs and Ham. Sam, I am. I don't want Green Eggs and Ham. And I'd be reading this to my kids. My kid, we go through the whole story, and he'd go, again, tell it again. Tell me the story again. And we go through the story again, and we get to this part where, well, why don't you just try it? You might like Green Eggs and Ham, but just try it. And so Sam says, okay, I'll try it. And he tries it the next page. Hey, I like Green Eggs and Ham. You know, and what's the moral of the story? You were trying to get our kids to eat green vegetables, and they don't even want to try that stuff, do they? And so here they are. They're getting into the green. There's a moral to every story. A good story, there's something you can learn out of it normally. Stories are awesome. They engage us. We can learn something through stories, and they're memorable. And so we use stories with kids and with adults. I'm going to have you around your tables try to remember the story of the boy who cried wolf. Okay, now, most of you, I think, probably know this story, but I need you at your table to try to put the story together. What were the elements of the story? And what was the moral or the lesson at the end of that story? So take a couple of minutes right now and just around your table discuss that. The boy who cried wolf. Go. Okay, there once was a shepherd boy who was bored as he sat on the hillside watching the village sheep. To amuse himself, he took a great breath and sang out, "Wolf! Wolf! The wolf is chasing the sheep." The villagers came running up the hill to help the boy drive the wolf away. But when they arrived at the top of the hill, they found no wolf. The boy laughed at the sight of their angry faces. "Don't cry, wolf, shepherd boy," said the villagers, "when there is no wolf." They went grumbling back down the hill. Later, the boy sang out again, "Wolf, wolf, the wolf is chasing the sheep." To his naughty delight, he watched the villagers run up the hill to help him drive the wolf away. When the villagers saw no wolf, they sternly said, "Save your frightened song for when there really is something wrong. Don't cry wolf when there is no wolf." But the boy just grinned and watched them go grumbling down the hill once more. Later, he saw a real wolf prowling about his flock. Alarmed, he leaped to his feet and sang out as loudly as he could, "Wolf! Wolf! Wolf!" But the villagers thought he was trying to fool them again, and so they didn't come. At sunset, everyone wondered why the shepherd boy hadn't returned to the village with their sheep. They went up the hill to find the boy, and they found him weeping. "There really was a wolf here. The flock has scattered. I cried out, wolf. I cried out, wolf. Why didn't you come?" The old man tried to comfort the boy as they walked back to the village. "We'll help you look for the lost sheep in the morning," he said, putting his arm around the youth. Nobody believes a liar, even when he's telling the truth. Powerful little story, isn't it? Stories, friends, are extremely powerful. Jesus told stories. Among many, let me just share one with you. He told the story about the farmer who went out to sow, and as they sowed in that day, they threw out the seed from a bag and threw it everywhere they could. They wanted to get as large a crop as they could, and so they threw out all of this seed. Well, some of the seed found itself lying in places that wouldn't be able to take root. In fact, he shares how three of those places, rocky soil, the places where there was the ground was hard, and then there was this place where it was thorns would come up, and so there's only one type of soil that it ended up taking root in. But when it did, only one of the four different places that he was sowing the seed, only one place did. But where it did, it had a crop multiplied by 30, 60, and 100-fold. Wow. What's the seed? The seed's the Word of God. The seed is the very gospel message about Jesus Christ. The seed is what we're trying to do and walk across the room and introduce ourselves to somebody maybe that we haven't met yet and to just make a new connection. The seed is doing those little small steps sometimes. They're not going to all turn out well. Don't give up if you try something sometime to just get to know somebody and build a relationship and it doesn't turn out. That's okay. You'll probably at some point there'll be somebody where that good soil accepts the very Word of God, and they're ready to hear more. Oh, I'm so glad that somebody walked across the room for me, and I was able to latch on to God in a much greater way than I had ever known Him before, friends. Yeah. Tell me a story. We have the story of God to tell. God has a story. And we need to tell it. Jesus told it in a simple phrase. It's one verse in our Bibles. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a story. One verse, John 3:16, isn't it? It's the whole story of the Bible. It's the whole story of God and humanity. It's the story of what God wants for us for eternity. That's a story. Perhaps people come up to you and And think about it. They say, well, you're kind of a religious thing. You're a religious person. I kind of get that about you, but I'm really not religious. I'm really not like that. And we can say this. This is a simple short story we can equip ourselves with to help people to understand Christianity a little better. Well, if they would say that to us, we could say, well, I totally understand where you are. I'm not religious either. I'm not really into religion at all. I'm into Christianity, though. There's a difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is spelled D-O. It's what we do. It's kind of this earning God's favor approach to getting close to God, to trying to get and appease and get into God's good graces. It's what people do to earn kind of their way to get to God's good grace. That's religion. I don't like that. Now, Christianity's different. It's spelled D-O-N-E. Done. God has done everything that needs to be done for me to be able to be in His good graces. He did it on the cross of Jesus Christ. It's called the gospel or the good news. That's why it's so good. It's not about us earning or working to be in God's good favor. It's simply a matter of accepting the single greatest gift. Simple little story. Religion is spelled D-O, do, versus Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. It's been done by God through Jesus Christ 20 centuries ago. Wow. That's just a little snippet or a little tiny story we can use. I want you to look at your tables there, and you've got some little sheets, should be available with some pens. I want you to take that out, and I want us to go through another little short story about God's story and how we might tell it. Pictures are really valuable in telling stories, and so here's a little diagram we can use, and what it has is people on one side and God on the other side of a large chasm. This will be on the screen. There it is, and go ahead and draw that out for yourself. Draw that out for yourself. People are on one side, God's on the other side. You see, as people, all people, that God's priority, remember, is people, and every person has potential. But we find ourselves with a separation between us and God. For as people, we like to try to do things our own way. And sometimes we don't do it very well. And sometimes when it comes to God, we don't follow His instructions for living very well. And so we've created this great chasm. That's called sin. At the bottom of that chasm is really death. Sin brings death. Death came into the world. And we'll do everything we can to try to get over to the other side. And the next slide will have this, our trying to build a bridge, our trying to get over to God, our trying to figure out how we can fill this void in our own lives apart from God. We need God, and so we do a lot of things. And if you look at the history of the world, a lot of things to try to get over to God. But again, there's nothing we can do, human effort speaking, to get to God. And so God did something for us. He had great compassion on all people. He loves all people. He has mercy toward all people. And he designed a plan of grace. It was really a bridge that He constructed for us to get to Him. And that's the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is this bridge upon which we cross over. We cross over on really the cross or the crucifixion of Jesus, the very gospel of His death, burial, and resurrection. And there's a scripture verse that goes with this rather well in John chapter 5. Verily, verily, I tell you, Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. It's a simple little illustration that anybody can use. You can do it on a napkin if you're with somebody over a soda or a cup of coffee. If it came to a place where, okay, they want a little more explanation on this idea of Christianity. Well, here's one little simple illustration I can share with you. that I've learned about what it means to get to God, to have a closeness with God. It only comes through Jesus Christ. Well, so God is a story, and we should tell that story, and there's different ways we can become equipped to do that. But there's another story that's really helpful to relaying to people what it is about our faith, what it is about this whole thing called Christianity, about Jesus in our world. And that's that we have a story too. You have a story. And God wants you to tell your story. You have a story too. There's the next slide. We'll look at what Jesus did in healing a leper. And it says, a leper came to him begging on his knees, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." Deeply moved, Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and said, "I want to. Be clean." Then and there, the leprosy was gone, his skin smooth and healthy. He told everyone he met what had happened, spreading the news all over town. Interestingly, in this case, Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Go back and look at the passage. Don't tell anybody. He couldn't help but tell everybody, because what he was before he had Jesus healed him, and what he is now, a total change with regard to his skin and his troubles and his separation from people. And the story could go on and on with the kind of problems that this leper felt. Capture this before and after. Capture this idea that he couldn't hold back, that Jesus had changed him, that something had happened in his life. And friends, this is what does happen to each of us if we think about it hard enough, that what God has done for us is amazing. If we have crossed that bridge, if we have trusted in God through Jesus Christ for our lives, my story, I'll cut into it where I was a young man, and I was striving. I was a striving young man. I was chasing some things. Not altogether healthy for me at that time in my life, but I was chasing after wealth or money and power through the desire to build businesses for myself. It was a very selfish kind of orientation. I'm never against any business. And I wanted to get into politics because I saw there was a great deal of influence I could have. My motives, I don't think, were very pure about necessarily helping lots of people in that. But there were these motives that I wanted to get all I could get in this life. I wanted to do it for me. And I was a young man, so give me some slack there, please. But anyway, so these things were consuming to me, so much so, friends, that I actually pleaded with God for material wealth and power out of a selfish, centered kind of heart. Well, some people introduced me to a fuller understanding of who God is and what he's about, his very purposes and plan. So much so, friends, that my passions, after coming to that understanding, changed. And it changed from me asking God to help me get what I wanted to gratefully asking God how I could help him get what he wanted. And for me, he sent me to Bible college by call. And here I've been for 25 years trying to serve him in vocational kind of ministry. That's my story. Do you see the before and the after? Every one of you, even if you haven't totally crossed the line, have a before and after story with respect to God. Even if it's just you came to the branch this morning and you've got a before the branch and hopefully a good after the branch experience, right? And so look at this next slide where you can see some of the before and after. Mine are at the top. They're striving, but I turn to be grateful. It transformed my life. Jesus did. God did, understanding what he's all about, truly. For me, it was becoming more informed because I was underinformed. And we talk about that. We're trying to reach as a branch all the numbers of people and the growing numbers of people that are misinformed, underinformed, or just uninformed about who Jesus really is. We want people to know the true Jesus, and our call is to make him known. God is using that in simple and small ways, pointing people to the single greatest gift. You could write down before and after on that slip of paper, maybe turn it over from the bridge illustration, take it home. I want to assign you something here this week, please. Think about your story. How could you say your story in 100 words or less? A simple before and after. You can't be verbose or have just a large volume of words in this kind of thing. It has to be short, sweet. It has to be able to show somebody your story in something that they're willing to listen to. You got to have some clarity to it, and it has to be done with some humility. That you were broken in this way, and God's done this for you. And that's a story that people will perk up and listen to. It'll engage them. It'll actually instruct them some, right? And it'll be memorable. It'll be memorable to them. They'll take that home with them. They'll think about that.